Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy to have you with us here tonight. It's your local liberal resistance headquarters where we proudly champion the conservative principles that cause liberals to have their heads explode. It's rather fun to watch. You know that picture, that famous picture of the liberals screaming the night Hillary Clinton lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens every time they hear Carry On Wayward Son now, and I'm glad to say I'm the cause of that. So congratulations, liberals. Another head just exploded, and I'm happy to be the perpetrator of that particular offense. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Our show, we've got a good show tonight, and almost the entire second hour is all yours. 316-869-1330. We'll take calls throughout the night. You can also reach us online at knssradio.com. You can email me, john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, on X at John R. Whitmer. You can also message us through the Odyssey app. You download the Odyssey app, you click the little microphone button, and then you can record a message and send that to us, and we'll play it on the air. I don't know if you heard one this last week, Phil.
I did.
We had
yep.
it on
a
morning show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yep.
Some guy who came in, chimed on, Richard, who brought us feedback. So, yeah, just download the Odyssey app, little microphone there. You can record a message to us. By the way, little programming note, I just decided, Phil.
Okay.
Executive decision, best of show next week.
All right.
So be it. And my wife, who's listening right now, is going, yay! Because I've been working way too many hours.
Your name happens to be on the show, so you can
I do have that. I do have that right.
All right.
Yes, we will not be with you next weekend. We're going to do a best of show, which means more work for Phil because he has to produce that. But so we will not be with you next Sunday evening. We're going to run a best of show so you can enjoy the America 250 festivities. And I've been working too many hours, so I'm going to spend some quality time with the wife.
Good deal.
But we've got a great show for you this evening. Steve Malloy, Senior Energy and Environment Legal Institute Fellow at the American Energy Institute, will join us to discuss why the president is calling on the Department of Justice to investigate corporate price gouging amid gas prices in the oil industry. Jenny Beth Martin, who is the chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action, she was one of the founders of the Tea Party movement, will be with us to talk about how Tuesday night, New York, the New York state of mind, apparently it's socialist. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk, we're going to continue our 2026 candidate profiles with Carl Mann. He's a candidate for Kansas House District 100. That is the seat currently held by the Speaker, Dan Hawkins, who is not seeking re-election. He's running for insurance commissioner, and so that seat's vacant. And there's a three-way. Actually, that's not really, because one of the candidates is a rhino. We'll tell you about that, too. But so Carl Mann will be with us here at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So I don't know if you can feel it. I can definitely feel it. But there's something a little different in the air. And that's because, just a few days from now, we got America 250 right around the corner. Maybe it's the smell of backyard barbecue. Maybe it's fireworks sitting in garages waiting for their big moment. Maybe it's the fact that, like I said, in just a few days, America celebrates 250 years since a group of extraordinary men did something the world had never really seen before. They looked the most powerful empire on earth square in the eyes and said, not going to do it. You know what? We think we'd rather govern ourselves. Go pound sand. And it's not a coincidence. So the founding fathers didn't, have polling data. They didn't have focus groups. They didn't have social media influencers telling them what hashtags were trending. They just said, They had conviction. They had courage. They had faith in God. And they signed a document, the Declaration of Independence, that amounted to a death warrant if they failed. Think about that. I mean, today, people say they're brave because they post angry comments on Facebook. Thank you, Stacey Rogers, which is basically all their bravado. Think about what the founding fathers did. You know, John Hancock signed his name so large that reported by historians, King George could supposedly read it without his spectacles. And he was blind, apparently, without his glasses. That's a whole nother level of commitment. These weren't perfect men. They'd be the first to tell you that. But they possessed something increasingly rare today. An understanding that liberty isn't free, that rights don't come from government, they come from God, and that the purpose of government is to secure those rights, not hand them out like participation trophies. Our founders believed that government should be the servant, not the master. And that's why America wasn't founded as a democracy. By the way, there's another lesson for all the no kings idiots. America wasn't founded as a democracy where 51% can vote away the rights of the other 49. We were founded as a constitutional republic. Again, someone tell the no kings morons. America is a nation of laws, limited government, the separation of powers, checks and balances, individual liberty, personal responsibility. That's the American experiment. And here we are 250 years later. It's still the greatest political experiment in human history. And for all the people who spend their days telling us America's terrible, the Hakeem Jeffries is out there, it's funny how millions of people around the world still want to come here. I've never heard of caravans headed toward Mexico, unless, of course, they're on their way to Texas. Nobody is risking their lives floating on a homemade raft trying to reach Venezuela because they heard their health care is fabulous. Nobody's had, you know, honey, pack the kids, we're chasing the socialist dream. No, they come here. Because despite our flaws, despite our mistakes, despite our disagreements, America remains what Ronald Reagan called the last best hope of man on earth. Reagan also reminded us that freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. It's not passed through the bloodstream. It's not guaranteed. It's not automatic. Every generation has to defend it. And that brings me to what happened this week in New York City. Three more openly socialist candidates won Democratic primaries. Not people accused of socialism, actual socialists. People who proudly wear the label. Apparently, somewhere along the way, socialism got really good public relations team somewhere. They changed the packaging. It's no longer government control. It's now called fairness. Talk about a crock. It's no longer redistribution. It's now called equity. It's no longer central planning. It's called compassion. It's amazing what you can accomplish with ChatGPT and some better marketing. You know what socialism reminds me of? It's the white speck on the top of bird poop. It's still bird poop. It reminds me of one of those late night infomercials. Everything's free. Everyone gets everything. No money down. No payments forever. And then somewhere in the tiny print at the bottom, provided somebody else pays for it. Margaret Thatcher wasn't being clever when she said the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And she was describing history. Because every single time, every place, every experiment that socialism has been tried, it has failed. Because people aren't nice enough. It fails because it ignores human nature. Socialism punishes success. It rewards dependence. It expands bureaucracy. It shrinks freedom. History isn't exactly subtle about this. The 20th century gave us every possible version of socialism, from the Soviet Union to Mao's China to Cuba to Venezuela, different languages, different flags, same ending. Economic misery, political oppression, empty shelves, long lines, less freedom, more government, and yes, in some regimes, mass death and horrific human suffering. These are not conservative talking points. That's history. The irony is almost painful. Socialists always promise to help the poor, and then they create more poor. They promise equality. Everyone ends up equally miserable, except, of course, the people running the government. Funny how that works. Government officials always seem to have, you know, full grocery stores, and they always seem to find gasoline. They always seem to enjoy nice vacations. Bernie Sanders sure hates the rich and doesn't bother to point out he's got $2 million homes. AOC sure talking about, you know, how everybody else and hate the rich, and then she flies on private jets. Apparently, socialism works great if you're in charge. Meanwhile, America has lifted more people out of poverty through freedom, free enterprise, innovation, and opportunity than any nation in history. We don't promise equal outcomes. We promise equal opportunity, as long as you're not a lazy bum. That's the profound difference. America says dream big. Socialism says stand in line. America says build something. Socialism says fill out this form. America celebrates the entrepreneur. Socialism suspects the entrepreneur. America rewards hard work. Socialism rewards political connections. One system trusts citizens. The other trusts bureaucrats, which ironically is what you're seeing today play out in the vote yes, vote no movement. We say vote yes, they say vote no. And I'll take citizens every time. As we approach this incredible milestone in our nation's history, let's remember what made America exceptional in the first place. Not because we're perfect. We're not. Not because we've never made mistakes. We have. America is exceptional because our founding principles are exceptional. The belief that our rights come from God, not government. The belief that individuals are more powerful than bureaucracies. The belief that liberty is worth defending. The answer to America's challenge isn't abandoning the Constitution. It's embrace. It isn't embracing socialism. It isn't making government bigger. It's rediscovering the timeless principles that built the greatest nation on the earth. Faith, freedom, personal responsibility, limited government, strong communities, strong citizens. The founding fathers gave us a republic. Benjamin Franklin famously said, "A republic if you can keep it." That's our assignment. That's our inheritance. That's our responsibility. So as America turns 250, let's celebrate the greatest story of self-government ever written. Teach our children why this nation is different, that American exceptionalism is real, that freedom still works, and that socialism sucks. We'll take a quick break, and then Jenny Beth Martin, chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action, will be with us to talk about how socialists are taking over the Democrat Party. Just look at New York. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You know, the sad part is, Phil, there are a lot of our audience probably doesn't know what this is. But for those who don't, this is the Soviet Union's anthem. Oh, folks, yeah, it is just too good. 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. Our Supreme Court should be selected by you. You know, let people vote. It's that simple. If you want more information, go to votersnotlawyers.com and find out more about the constitutional amendment that you're going to be voting on coming up on August 4th. And make sure while you're online, make sure you like and follow The John Whitmer Show, Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So Tuesday's Democratic primaries in New York are fueling a national debate about the future of the Democrat Party. Candidates backed by New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani scored a string of victories over establishment Democrats, which not a whole lot of difference, but there is some, prompting questions about whether the party is moving further to the left. Don't think they had a whole lot far to go. But joining us now is Jenny Beth Martin, chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action. Jenny Beth, it's nice to have you back on the show. It's a pleasure to have you on again, my friend.
It is great to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
So those results on Tuesday were described by many as a major win for Mamdani and his movement. How significant do you think these were? I mean, were they a blip, or do you think they represent a turning point for the Democrat Party as a whole, or is this just a New York state of mind, shall we say?
I think that it is more than just a New York state of mind. I think it tells us where the Democratic Party is headed. Mayor Mondami invested heavily in these races, and the candidates he backed, of course, won, and they had tremendous success. It gives him influence with the party, and it elevates his governing philosophy, which is, it's not what we would have thought of 20 years ago as a liberal Democrat. It is democratic socialism, bigger government, wealth redistribution, property seizure, government intervention throughout the entire economy. And I think that what we are seeing in New York and what we are seeing in California, like in Los Angeles, where the runoff is going to be with a Democrat socialist as well, is something we need to be paying attention to throughout the entire country and making sure that we are showing the contrast in Democrat socialism versus constitutional democracy, our constitutional republic.
You know, it is kind of funny. I used to say, I remember Rush Limbaugh used to talk about how, quote unquote, liberal Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, they were liberals. Some of these folks make Barack Obama look like a moderate. Bill Clinton, he came up with the don't ask, don't tell policies. He really was a moderate by comparison to these folks, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was a moderate compared to what we're looking at right now in the Democratic Party. I think that what we're seeing from Mondami and AOC are the things that Obama would have liked to be able to do. He didn't think the country was ready for it. So I think this is an evolution from having Obama as president. But it is, you're right. These policies of the Democrat socialist actually do make Obama look much more moderate.
So do you think this is
alarming?
Do you think this is just them finally coming out of the closet, or is this what they've always been all along, and they're just finally saying the quiet part out loud?
I don't think that Bill Clinton was a Democrat socialist. I think that he certainly liked much bigger government than what I like. But I think that the Democrat Party in the 90s and early 2000s was actually the Democrat Party. They were liberal, and the Republican Party was moderate and conservative. What we're seeing right now, though, is such a departure from a moderate or even a liberal and so far left that it needs to give all Americans pause and understand what is at stake when it comes to our elections. At the national level, of course, when it comes to Congress, the Senate, and the president, and also as we're looking at governor, state legislators, city councils, county commissions, and school boards. When they get a foothold in at a school board or at a city or county level, they begin working their way up, and their policies will creep in at every level of government, and we need to be paying attention to it.
We're talking with Jenny Beth Martin, chairman of Tea Party Patriots Action. You've said that every Democrat running this fall now owns the crazy, basically, and that we should, as Republicans, candidates running against these folks, we should start basically calling them out and saying, hey, you know, what do you think of the Plattners out there? What do you think of these folks? And essentially forcing them to either stand with these candidates, these socialists, or disavow them. I mean, you've seen Fetterman has actually been able to stand up and say, no, that's not what our party stands for. Do you think that's what Republicans should be doing up and down the ballot?
Yeah, I think that they should. Part of the reason is that we as Americans have to make sure that we continue to be a representative democracy, that we continue to be a republic, and that we continue to embrace capitalism. Capitalism has risen, has allowed more people to rise out of poverty than any other economic system ever in history. Socialism fails everywhere it's ever been tried. We are looking at a situation now where if you're 24, 25 years old and younger and are able to vote, you probably have not been taught history. You've probably been taught that America is a terrible, evil place.
Right.
And you probably don't understand what's important about capitalism. And it's up to all of us to make sure that we are explaining that. And the people who are so far to the left, we need to be asking each Democrat running for office, do you support these people or not? Do you support what Graham Platner is doing? Do you support what Mondami is doing? Do you want to take property away from people? Do you want to freeze rent? Do you want to prevent people from owning their own items? Do you believe in property rights? How high do you think taxes should go? Who do you consider the rich? These are questions we need to be asking, and they need to be on the record. We need to understand what they stand for and whether they're going to disavow people who actually hate our form of government.
Yeah, you're right. And if they've got a Nazi tattoo, then they should, you know, do you stand with this guy? Jenny Beth, we appreciate you joining us. If folks are interested, if they want to find out about Tea Party Patriots, they can find it at teapartypatriots.org, correct?
That is correct. And I'm on social media at Jenny Beth M, Amazon Martin. And I hope you and your entire audience have a very happy 4th of July. Happy 250.
Yes, thank you. And same to you, my friend. Appreciate you joining us. Coming up, we'll continue. Oh, look at you. What a contrast. We'll continue the 2026 candidate profiles with Carl Mon, candidate for Kansas State Representative District 100. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I didn't tell you to turn it down. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news they don't want to hear. I got to say it. You don't have to turn it down by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey. Don't you turn it down, Odyssey. I see your fingers. iHeartRadio or TuneIn. I did not tell you to turn that down. I guarantee you Carl's sitting there rocking.
He was, actually.
I know. Follow me on. Oh, you know what to do. At any rate, every election cycle, we try to bring you candidates running for local, state, and federal office. And we're going to continue to do that up until the primary. And then as we move into the general, we will bring you candidates running for the general election. I actually had a Democrat reach out to me, wanted to come on. So we'll try. And we're going to have bipartisan guests.
I like that.
Yeah. All that being said, joining us now is Carl Mon. He is a candidate for Kansas State Rep, District 100. He is an experienced business owner, advisor, former state representative, and a community volunteer with a background in legal and regulatory matters. Carl, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, John. Good to be here.
So let's see. It's a little bit. District 100, this is the seat that's currently being held by Speaker Dan Hawkins.
Correct.
You're not challenging Dan.
No,
Dan is
do that.
Not seeking. No, I wouldn't recommend it. Dan's not seeking reelection. He's running for commissioner on insurance. By the way, full disclosure, I have endorsed Dan. So, but that seat, it's an open seat. There are two other candidates, Al Jurak and J.C. Moore. Al will be on the show. I think we're trying to set it up. We were going to do it next week, but it'll be the following week that we'll have Al on the show. J.C. Moore doesn't factor into it. J.C. is a Democrat who has he's running now. He's run multiple times. He ran. I mean, he's now running as a Republican, but he is a Republican in name only. Brian Bergkamp beat him in my old district, and he lost by 80 points. The guy is a complete Republican. He's a Democrat. He is literally the definition of a Republican in name only. I'll be lucky if he gets more than 3% of the vote, if lucky. I mean, the guy is literally a Democrat. So
that's my understanding. I never met the man, but
no, that's
his record.
That is not the Democrat. That's not your understanding. That's a fact. He is a Democrat who just happens to have decided to run as a Republican now. But he's a full out liar, and he's welcome to come on the show, and I will call him a liar to his face. But but hey, if he wants to come on and have his record exposed, I'm happy to do that. Let's start with this. You were in the House. You weren't in the House. Why run again? I would have thought by now you'd have learned your lesson.
Yeah, you know, John, this country and the state has given me the privilege of living a pretty good life and getting a background and an education that really fits well with the legislature. And when I was up there last time, I thought I was effective. I enjoyed the work, and the work is important work. And, you don't often get that cross-section of things where your background and experience fits, you are good at it, and it's important work and interesting, and you like it. And those all aligned here. And so when Dan decided not to run, I thought, well, it's an open seat. Let's throw my hat in.
The Wichita Eagle, as they do, they tend to, rake you over the coals. They've wrote some unpleasant articles about people's past. We all have stuff in our past that people like, but the papers tend to be particularly brutal when they're Republicans in the race. You've acknowledged that you've had some personal and family challenges. You care to talk about some of that?
Yeah, sure. So about 2.5 years ago, I was going through a very difficult moment. Kind of was devastating to me, and a family issue, and I wasn't handling that well, and I started drinking heavily. And, about 6 months of that, and I realized, look, this isn't me. This has got to stop. And so I got in some treatment, started attending AA, got the help I needed. And that's been about 2 years now, and just over 2 years. And so I'm putting it behind me and moving on and moving forward with my life.
Well, I could give you some personal. My brother, before he passed away, had 28 years sobriety in AA. Nice. My father had, I think, 8 years of sobriety in AA.
Nice.
So, yeah, both of them were recovering alcoholics, and once they got into AA and found sobriety, they never touched a drink. So, I wish you best. As you know, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. I'm glad to hear that you found some sobriety, and that's a good thing. The other thing that the Eagle commented on was you had some residency issues when you filed, and the Secretary of State kicked you off the ballot. I'm assuming now that you've resolved that, and you actually live in the district now.
Correct. I am living in the district. The declaration that you sign when you want to be a candidate says that you declare your intent to be living in the district.
Right, intent to reside, yes.
Right. And I did have a lease coming up, and I was intending to move into the district. I just got overexcited and jumped the gun a little bit.
Ahead of your skis, yep, as they like to
and,
say.
And filed before I'd actually moved and changed my voter registration. But, yeah, shortly after that, I did actually move into the district and, live there now. And it's a district that I lived in for 17 years previously before we moved into a neighboring district. It's a district that I educated my kids in and shop in and lived in for a long time. So I know the district pretty well.
So how long did you serve in the House?
Just over 2 years. I was appointed and then elected and then served out that term.
So, both the House and the Senate have been struggling with the budget. House and Senate Republicans have pushed for spending rollbacks and cuts. They're looking at, and the state is facing a budget shortfall. How would you propose to address that issue as they go back? If you're in there, they're going to have to face budget issues. What would be your solution for that?
Absolutely. I think on a big level, the state needs economic growth. And what we do to encourage that is we become a state that is friendly to own, run, build, and start businesses, because businesses employ people. We're losing people out of the state. And when you lose people out of the state, the tax base gets a little flatter, and there's fewer people to help cover their expenses. So we need to attract people. And the way we do that is promote jobs. And the way you do that is become a business-friendly state, lower regulations, lower taxes on businesses, and bring businesses in so that they can do what they do and fuel the economy.
Both chambers agreed that we had to address property taxes. There were two different plans. What are your thoughts on property taxes? Do you support the idea of a cap on property taxes?
I am a little worried about the cap, because what tends to happen is you cap it and then the evaluations just go up, and so the people don't get relief. Long term, I know this would be a heavy lift, but long term I would like to see us move away from property tax as a way of funding local and state governments, and as a way of generating tax revenue, because all it does is punish people who have done the right thing, bought a house, paid it off, and owned it for a long time. And it's just not a really great way or fair way to fund the government.
Real quick, and then I got to take a quick break. I'm assuming you oppose Medicaid expansion. You're running in Dan Hawkins' district. I'm assuming you're a no on Medicaid expansion.
I am a no on Medicaid expansion.
And I'm assuming you support the judicial amendment coming up on August 4th.
I do. I think that's one of the most important things on the ballot.
I figured those were easy ones. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our candidate profile with Carl Maughan, who's running for House District 100. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you that our friends of Americans for Prosperity, we had a great day of action yesterday. Whole bunch of folks were out statewide, so much so it actually slowed down the process of the app that they use to do door knocking. It was a huge day of action. They do them every month. We'll be doing one again next month. And here's the key with AFP. If you don't want to go out and door knock, it was hot, but we still did it. But you can make phone calls, and the phone calls are so simple, you don't even have to go in. You can do them from an app on your phone. Right now, we need help. They need help educating voters. You can make calls from the peace and quiet of your own home, calling folks to help educate them about the issues and things that matter to our city and our county. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up and help out. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll continue now our candidate profile with Carl Maughan, who's a candidate for Kansas State Rep District 100. Carl, let's cover a couple basic party platform issues. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment and the right to life?
Okay, on the Second Amendment, I'm firmly in the camp of shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed.
That's a pretty easy one. I've yet to have a candidate say, take the guns, which, hey, they can say it. Might not get them elected, but they can say it.
And on life, I'm 100% pro-life. My position on life is that abortion is only justified in the case of protecting the life of the mother. My voting record in the legislature is 100% pro-life with KFL. I've enjoyed the Kansans for Life endorsement twice before. And, I both at the polls and in the legislature, my record is 100% pro-life.
Multiple Kansas school districts are currently threatening to sue the state, claiming we're not adequately funding K-12 education. What are your thoughts? Are we adequately funding? And what are your thoughts on school choice?
Well, I'll start with school choice first. I believe that education of one's children is a parent's responsibility. And if we're going to be paying taxes, we should have the option of deciding how and where we do that. So I'm 100% on board with school choice. With regard to – sorry, I lost train of thought. What was the first question?
Just are we adequately funding?
Yeah. I think we are. We are overfunding some of the administration and not funding the actual education of kids as well. But that's an individual school board issue. And I think the administration in most schools is bloated. And that money could be better used actually educating our kids.
What do you think about, you know, this? The House passed it once before. It's been a number of years. The Senate has yet to take it up. I don't know if they will next session. We'll see. What do you think about marijuana, legalizing recreational or medical marijuana?
You know, I'm generally opposed to that. To be honest, I don't think what we're doing now is working, but I don't think legalization is the right move either. And so, you know, I've told people before, I might be convinced, but I doubt it. And so that's kind of my position is we don't need more substances that people can, you know, mess up their lives on.
I'm assuming I probably could guess where you are on things like protection for women and girls sports and, you know, the issues of I don't believe that there is such a thing as gender-affirming care. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, doing anything permanent to a child who's under the age of 18, I don't care whether you're their parent, it's child abuse in that regard as far as quote-unquote gender-affirming care. Once they're an adult, if they want to do whatever they want to do, that's, you know, they can make those decisions. But, yeah, this is common sense. There's men and there's women, and there's boys and there's girls.
Well, you'd think it was common sense.
I would think so, you know. But, you know, it's delusional and it's unkind to let somebody sit in their delusion, especially when they're a child. We help people out of their mental health problems, not enforce them.
This is a new one that I've just added because it's come up in the last few weeks, and that is there's a couple of, I think there are 8 or 9 people who are currently on death row who've got clemency petition requests on the governor's desk. Just curious what your thoughts are on the death penalty.
Yeah, I think the death penalty is an important arrow in the quiver of prosecutors, and when we have people who have done such heinous things that they've basically forfeited their innocence, and I think it's very important that we have that option on the table. I know that's somewhat inconsistent with my pro-life position, but there's a big difference between an innocent baby and somebody who's done heinous things. And, you know, the death penalty isn't enforced that much, but I think it's a good thing, a good tool to have in the toolbox.
I ask this of all candidates because I think it's important we support our candidates up and down the ballot, with exception might be J.C. Moore or Vicky Schmidt. But will you support your opponent if he if it's not you? Would you support your opponent if he emerges into the primary, into the general?
Yeah, I'm a Republican, have been ever since I could first register to vote, and I'll support the party.
Well, Carl, I appreciate you joining us this evening. If folks want information on your campaign, if they want to volunteer or donate, the website is Carl Maughan for Kansas, and that's MAUGHAN. So it's Carl, and that's Carl with a C. CarlMaughanForKansas.com, correct?
Correct. And you can also get it just CarlForKansas.com. It'll roll over to the official site.
If they just Google Carl for Kansas.com. You have a hint of an accent. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Zimbabwe.
Really?
Finished high school in South Africa.
What brought you here?
Ever since I was little, I wanted to come to America. It was, the land of opportunity and just...
Oh, it's not the land of socialism. See, here's another one.
If I could just interject.
Sure, yeah.
If I would be happy to have him read a story to me. That would be fantastic.
Want a bedtime story for Carl, is what you're saying.
He's fantastic to listen to.
So you want Carl to read you bedtime stories tonight so you can go to bed. That actually creeps me out Phil. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. Not going there.
I don't know. You know, that one, I don't blame you on that one, Carl. That one kind of, okay. Next time, just keep your mouth quiet. Carl, we appreciate you again. It's Carl Maughan for Kansas. He's running for District 100. That was pretty funny, actually, Phil. Appreciate you, my friend. Wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you in November. And if not, keep busy.
Yeah. Thanks, John. It's been great, and happy Independence Day.
Yes, likewise. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, Steve Malloy will try and explain why President Trump is calling on the DOJ to investigate price gouging. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to the number 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, gas prices remain elevated as the conflict with Iran continues to, I don't know if it's on or off or off or on or whichever, it depends on, you know, who's doing what over there. But the president is now calling on the Justice Department to investigate what he called, there's what I want to look at, a Vicky Schmidt ad, to investigate what he calls possible corporate price gouging by oil companies. But it's gouging really to blame, or are geopolitical events and global supply concerns driving prices to the pump? Joining us now is Steve Malloy. He's Senior Energy and Environment Legal Institute Fellow at the American Energy Institute. Steve, we appreciate you joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
So the president has called on the Justice Department to investigate, you know, whether or not price gouging by oil companies is going on. And I think that's probably because, you know, he's said all along, and I think many of us have assumed that once the war in, you know, the Gulf ended, once the war with Iran ended, prices would go down. Well, there hasn't been any real conflict in quite a while. It's been a few weeks at least. And yet oil prices really haven't gone down. So the question then is there evidence that price gouging is going on?
Well, so I'm a big Trump fan. Just get that out there. But I think President Trump has got this way wrong. I know he likes to browbeat people. And maybe he thinks he can browbeat the oil industry into lower prices. The reality is that there's no price gouging going on. And I mean, this is something that the Biden administration accused big oil of. And people have accused big oil of price gouging going back to the 1970s when the energy crisis first started. There's never been any oil gouging. No one's ever found any oil price gouging. It's just the market. When President Trump decided to attack Iran and they closed the Strait of Hormuz, that took 20% of the global oil market offline. And that has sent prices skyrocketing. And even though the Strait of Hormuz is open, or is it now, and some oil is flowing through, we're way behind. Countries have emptied their reserves. They need to restock that. The United States, especially China. It's just going to take a while for prices to go back down. But they've already come back down. I was paying a few weeks ago more than $4.50 for a gallon of gas. Now, last tank I bought a couple of days ago, it's $4 a gallon. So prices have been coming down. But historically, they always come down slower then the prices go up.
Right. So, I mean, I guess my question then is, I mean, how many, you know, much of today's higher fuel prices can be directly attributed to the war, though, or is that not really the case?
No, that is the case. The Strait of Hormuz was shut down. 20% of the world's oil went offline. There's no way people can make up 20% in a short amount of time. In the United States, although we are producing more oil than ever and we consider ourselves to be energy independent, the reality is that we burn about 20 million barrels of oil a day, yet we only produce about 13.5 million. So we still need to buy oil on the global market. And, you know, the way global prices work is, you know, prices really shoot up when there's a little bit of a deficiency. In supply and demand, there's a little bit of imbalance, prices shoot up. Well, this is a huge imbalance. 20% of the global market just went away. So prices skyrocketed, and, you know, it's because of the war. And until there's peace in the Gulf and the straits are open and, you know, oil starts flowing again, prices are going to be elevated.
So, again, we're talking with Steve Malloy with the American Energy Institute. If the conflict continues or escalates, what should Americans expect at the gas pump? I mean, I think we're all expecting it to go down. Is that an unrealistic expectation?
No, it's, I mean, if there is going to be peace, or at least this, you know, the United States is going to assume control of the Strait, and you know, Iranian oil production is going to occur, and you know, if we get back to business as usual, prices are going to go down. And President Trump is right about this. Prices will go way down, although we don't want prices to go too low, because then the oil industry is not interested in pumping oil. But prices should come down. You know, the $3 level is probably good, you know, once peace is established. But, of course, we're not really close to peace, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Well, I mean, just, yeah, there's still violence going on
right
over there.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I depends again. I
yeah.
On Friday we were, and over the weekend we aren't. Now maybe today we are. And it's, I mean, I don't know. It's like the weather here in Kansas. It's wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's, you know, we don't have normal traffic going through there.
No.
Now, you know, I imagine that President Trump is very wary of restarting the violence, because he doesn't want Americans paying higher prices going into the midterms. I would say that if I was Iran, I would really worry about that December timeframe. but, you know, until there is peace and it's business as usual, we are going to be paying more for oil. Now, you know, we ought to be producing more oil here. We have, of course, Venezuela. If we can unlock some of that, that will all help. But the reality is, 20%, taking 20% of the global oil market offline, that is a huge hit.
If consumers are frustrated, I mean, obviously, every time they fill up, what's the biggest misconception about why gasoline prices rise? Is it more about oil companies and government policy, or, you know, what the Democrats would say is, you know, rich fat cats trying to make, you know, get rich? Or is it just simply global supply and demand?
Yeah, I think the misconception is that the oil industry is doing price gouging.
Right.
You know, that has been investigated many, many times by the government and has turned up nothing. The oil industry is responding to price gouging. Of course, local prices depend on local conditions. You know, in California, of course, they pay even more than everybody else for a gallon of gas, by more than a dollar and a half, because California is just a crazy place. They have all sorts of regulations, and they hate the oil industry, and there's no refining, and they require, you know, special blends of gasoline. You know, it all depends on where you are and what sort of requirements your states have, and what, of course, your gas taxes adds on, you know, marginally to that. But, you know, in a peaceful world, there's plenty of oil, and so prices will be low. But we've got to get to that point, and I don't think we're really there yet.
What do you think of this idea of getting rid of or suspending the gas tax for a short term?
You know, it's a very marginal thing. I don't think it's really going to help anybody. I mean, gas is going to be expensive. You know, maybe for people that drive an absolutely, you know, monster amount of miles, it'll make a significant difference. But I think overall, for the average person, it's probably not much. But the thing to do is to resolve what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, that's what's got to happen.
Yep. Well,
if the uncertainty is there, prices are going to remain high.
Your lips to God's ears, my friend. If folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They could find me on X at Junk Science.
Junk Science. All right, my friend. I appreciate you joining us. It's always a pleasure. We'll connect with you again sometime.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, buddy. We were going to take a break, and then I'm turning the reins over to you. I did get a message on social media, and I want to respond. We got a listener who asked about an HOA that's telling him he can't put out a yard sign. He got one of the vote yes yard signs, and he couldn't put it out. And Warren wants to know, what's the policy on that? Warren, I will tell you when we get back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Supreme Court. 22 states already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. Our Supreme Court should be no different. You can visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more information. So Warren asked about whether yard signs, because he got one of our Voters Not Lawyers yard signs, our Vote Yes yard signs. Mm-hmm. And I guess his HOA was telling him, you can't put that out because HOA has a policy. And, you know, HOAs, which I hate HOAs, by the way. I think it's just a bunch of, you know, Karens who think that they, you know, have a little bit of power and it goes straight to their heads. But apparently the HOA has a rule. You can't put out a yard sign, which is fine. HOAs do have the power to regulate yard signs. That is the law.
Okay.
That they can do that. They can do that. Except, and here's the key, under Kansas statute, and I know this because my buddy Blake Carpenter passed this law, and he did it. We tried to do it when I was in the legislature. We didn't get it done, and then he got it done the year after I got out. Under Kansas statute 25-2711, so if you need to get this, look it up, print it out, and send it to your HOA. Kansas statute 25-2711 says, no city or county shall regulate or prohibit the placement or the number of political signs on private property or the unpaved right-of-way for city streets or county roads on private property during the 45-day period prior to any election or the two-day period following any such election. That applies to HOAs. The bottom line is, nobody can tell you you can't put a yard sign in your yard. If your HOA tells you you can't put a yard sign in your yard, go tell them to pound sand. The other thing they can't do is tell you the number of yard signs in your yard. I put one yard sign in my yard. The HOA sent somebody over. I put a second yard sign in my yard. They sent somebody over. I put two more yard signs in my yard. Right now I have 8. If they say anything else, I will double it again. I've sent them this statute and informed them that I helped to write the dang thing. These people don't understand this is a constitutional right to speech. This is a freedom of speech issue. Nobody has the right to restrict your ability to free speech. So if anybody tries to tell you you can't put a yard sign in your yard, tell them where they can go shove their...
Yeah.
Yeah. There you
okay,
go, folks.
So Warren and everyone else out there in radio yes. land, let me paint you a picture right now. As John is reading this, he has the biggest grin on his face.
Yes.
And you know what? I tend to agree with him because it's really yeah. nice when the law is on your side.
Yep.
But yep. but it's all right there.
Yeah, and it's a blank eating grin too. It's a pucky eating grin. Yeah, because I love shoving this one in their faces because no, they cannot restrict now more than 45 days. They can restrict it after 2 days after the election. You got to pull them, mm-hmm. but beyond that, you can put as many yards. Now you can't put a 4x6 sign.
No,
but you know now what you can do is you could paint your garage door. If you want to do that, you can paint your garage door. But you, other than that, you pretty much do whatever you want. And don't let them tell you you can't, Warren. So there you go.
All right.
Very and if good. Anybody wants a yard sign, the Central County Republican Party just got 1,000 more vote yes yard
I
signs
saw that.
In. And if you want one, message them and they will deliver them. They're actually delivering free of charge yard signs.
Very good.
Vote yes yard signs anywhere in Sedgwick County. They'll deliver them for free. So
good deal.
Yeah. Oh, it's a heck of a deal.
Hey, John, let's bring this up again about yes. using the Odyssey app.
Yes.
And how folks can just
All you have to do is Odyssey app. If you've got a comment, good or bad, mm-hmm. as long as it's not profane, if you've got a comment on a show or content or and that's for any of our shows. So you go to the App Store, Android or Apple App Store. and download the Odyssey app. And then if you've got the app up, there's a little microphone on it. And if you click the microphone, you can leave a message. It's up to 60 seconds and we'll play them on the air. We do that all the time on a morning show. And in fact, I think you've got one.
I have one here. I found one. It was from Richard.
Yes.
And this was from this past week, I think.
Yeah, that's right. On the, because he heard the ad for the Pachyderm Club.
Okay, let me play it for you.
Okay, sure. All
right. Pachyderm Club would have it sometime in the evenings so that the average working person here in Wichita and the surrounding area could attend.
That's right. So he was, what he was referencing was the Wichita Pachyderm Club that you just heard their ad that they're talking about. And it's a Wichita Pachyderm Club. For folks who don't know what the Pachyderm Club is, it's a fantastic organization. They meet every Friday. They're not meeting this Friday because of the 4th of July weekend. But other than that, they meet every Friday at downtown right there at the corner of Douglas and Broadway, I think, or Douglas and Market. In a Ruffin building there. They meet at the ninth floor, and I think it's Market.
Great. Douglas and Broadway.
Broadway. It is Broadway. Okay.
Fantastic venue.
Gorgeous venue. They're in the ninth floor at the ninth floor club there, and it's a beautiful venue, and they have a great lunch. The luncheon starts at 11:30, and the program starts at noon. And they have all kinds of different topics. Some, you know, sometimes as candidates, right now they're doing some candidate profiles. Ty Masterson, candidate for governor, spoke last week, and they've had judges. They've had members of Congress. Dr. Marshall has come in. Ron Estes. They've had actual governors who've come. They've had members of, you know, from out of state. They bring in fantastic speakers, talk about a variety of topics, liberty, you know, Constitution, things like that. And it's a great meal. The first time you go, guests are free. So it's a great way to go. Yeah, it's
a great way to.
You can find out more information at Wichita Pachyderm. Let me get the website so I get it right here. But it's a great organization. At any rate, but one of the things in response to what Richard was mentioning there is the fact that they are looking at doing an evening meeting. Like a cocktail kind of reception, which I think wichitapachyderm.org is what I thought. That's the website. But yeah, they're going to do an evening function, like a cocktail kind of happy hour kind of thing. So
I kind of like that. And it kind of mirrors what the mayor is doing with some of the city council
with
stuff
the city council
that they
stuff,
do.
So.
I think, what is it, once a month that they meet?
Yeah, or quarter or something
quarterly
like that.
They meet in the evening time, and it gives folks a chance who have been, they're working all day or whatever. They can't make it to something during the day, but 6 o'clock or after in the evening time. Yeah.
And that's, sometimes that's great. You can't go, you know, sometimes people can't get away for lunch or can't make it downtown because maybe they work in Goddard or something like that. They can't make it all the way down, have lunch and all the way back to work. So at any rate, Pachyderm Club's thinking of doing that. But if you can, go to Pachyderm Club. They've got some great lunches. I mean, I'm looking to see who some of their speakers are coming up. Like I said, they don't have one, but you know, they've got some. Another candidate series, July 17th, is Charlotte O'Hara. Scott Schwab coming up at the end of the month on the 24th. So they're previewing a lot of these candidates.
That's great.
Coming up.
Pachyderm Club, they're a sponsor of one of your segments on Woodward and Witt.
Yes, they do. They sponsor Mondays with the mayor and Tuesdays with the chair.
Very good.
So, yeah, it's great, great organization. And, again, it's WichitaPachyderm.org if you want more information. And there we go, Richard. So hopefully that answered your question. And yes, I know they're looking at doing a an evening thing, kind of cocktail thing. And so we'll, if they do that, we'll bring you that information. So there you go. And again, it's the Odyssey app. Click the microphone and leave us a message and we'll play it for you as long as you're, you know, not excessively vulgar.
Yes. So. Keep it civil, but we would love to hear both pro and con if you have suggestions or if you have a compliment or something. Yeah, we'd be more than happy to air that.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. Why is our Supreme Court any different? You know, I love the different folks that are arrayed against this. The most ironic is the ACLU that defends liberties, purportedly defends liberties, and yet they're opposing giving you the right to vote. It's the ultimate liberty. the irony here is laughable. VotersNotLawyers.com for more information. And, of course, while you're online, like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to get the latest updates on the show. Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Country. I think it's important to keep a gratitude list. I keep one, and I wrote District Attorney Bennett, and I wrote down Kobach and Jim Howell and Senator Erickson and Senator Kelly Warren, and to be grateful, Kobach, and to be grateful. And when you see Austin, Texas, and that particular district attorney that was promoted by George Soros, it's important to understand that I get behind candidates that I'm grateful for, and you would be grateful for Sedgwick County District Attorney Bennett. And I like passing that on to Kansas residents this evening. Grateful for our country.
I like Mark. I think he's doing an admirable job. I think he's an excellent DA, and I think he's doing his yeoman's best. Do you like any of the gubernatorial candidates, Pat?
I like the Ty Masterson. I think he might be very, very good. And it's going to be a tough run if you go against the Democrats. And if you see Letitia James, when she came up, what he's up against is the Democrats of Letitia James. She came up to the podium, and she had her Democrat friends, and they're here in Wichita, too. And the Democrat, almost like they had Mickey Mouse hats on, and she said to her thriving audience, too pale, too stale, and too male. And she was referring to she wanted to get reelected, the Attorney General, there. And
Oh yeah, she did. She's crazy, and so many of those Democrats, certainly a lot of them on that side of the aisle are. And it's an interesting what times that we live in, as you see, the fighting that's going on, especially in the Democrat Party right now. I don't know if by the way, thank you Pat for that call. I don't know, Phil, if you've been following some of the fighting that's been going on in the Democrat Party. They've got this interesting fight for governor, where they've got now a three-way primary for governor and two quote unquote mains, establishment candidates, mm-hmm. with Ethan Corson and then Skoog, the Democrat mayor of Overland Park. And one is backed by Sebelius. One is backed by the shuffler, Laura Kelly. And then this absolute left-wing radical Cindy Holscher. But because the two establishment candidates are basically, taking the same voters, Holscher may end up being their nominee. Mm-hmm. And she's an AOC squad member. She's a left wing. She's really extreme.
I saw Ethan. He put out his first batch of ads. Would have been like, earlier this week.
He looks like such a dweeb.
I was caught in between retching, wanting to vomit, and laughing myself.
Yeah, it's so cringe. Well, I wish I was a royal. I wanted to be a baseball player. Yeah, buddy, I wanted to be an astronaut or a cowboy too. But
the laughable thing, I'm going to fight Trump, and I'm going to kick ice out, and I'm going to.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you couldn't fight yourself out of a wet paper bag.
Exactly. So I'm going to stand up to ice. Yeah, sure you are, pal. You couldn't stand up to a wet noodle. I mean, the guy looked like such a limp, whatever, balding. And Miss Piggy could beat him up. but the Cindy Holscher, mm-hmm. she is a bomb thrower. I mean, she could beat him up. And he came across as so weak and milquetoast. It was funny. And then you've got the same thing happening in a House district here in Wichita, where Henry Helgerson, who is a Democrat, and he's actually one of the sane, he's a sane Democrat. He's nice. Don't get me wrong. Now, he is a Democrat. Henry Helgerson will vote with the Democrats 9 out of 10 times. The one area that he doesn't sometimes is fiscal. He's a fiscal conservative. He believes in, limited government, in being fiscally, even not necessarily limited government, but he does believe in fiscal responsibility. He won't vote for a bunch of big bloated spending because he understands the reality and that we can't keep growing government without a reasonable way to pay for it. Now, the difference between Henry Helgerson and Republicans is we won't vote for tax increases. Henry would.
Mm-hmm.
Henry would say, if you want to, you know, come up, if you want to spend $600 million, you need to pay for it. He's a pay for guy. I'm a pay for guy in that if you want to, every time I ran a bill in the legislature, I brought a pay for. Oh, if it's got $50 million, then you need to come up with $50 million to pay for it. That was my attitude. Henry's attitude would be the same. Now, the difference between Henry and I is I wouldn't bring $50 million in new spending. I would bring $50 million in cuts, but Henry also would support cuts. Henry brought a bill last year that cut 2% of the budget. He was the only legislator to try and do that. But Henry's got an opponent now. Brandon Whipple is running against him.
I saw this.
Yes, it's a contentious House primary. So there's an article in the Wichita Eagle today where the Kansas Teachers Union, who is backing Henry Helgerson, has had a complaint filed upon them by Brandon Whipple. Because Whipple says that the head of the teachers union, they're bullying him. Because the top official with the KNEA, warned a Democratic candidate for state house, Brandon Whipple, because he publicly criticized the organization's endorsement process because they said that he would be hit with a buzzsaw. And Brandon Whipple said that they were bullying him because they threatened him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
Hang on a second. I got to run to the microwave and get me some popcorn.
Yes. It's so funny. Hmm. And Brandon claiming that they're bullying him and that they, quote unquote, threatened him. Well, you know, the union said, you know, basically the union guy said, look, Whipple, you want to come against us? You will be, quote, met with a buzzsaw. Well, that's probably the political reality. You're going up against the union and we're Democrats. And Whipple filed a complaint, a formal complaint with the organization because he, poor Brandon. I mean, I can just see him crying off in a corner because he's, you know, they're being picked on. And I just think it's absolutely laughable. But this is what's going on. Henry Helgerson's not liberal enough. He's not radical enough. He doesn't, you know, say, hey, Bob, and complain and want, you know, trannies doing everything. It is so laughable that party is just collapsing in upon itself.
Henry Helgerson doesn't have to ask someone, do you know who I am?
Well, that's true. Yeah, he doesn't care. No. He just wants to do his job. Meanwhile, Brandon Whipple's, you know, crying because you have to laugh when this kind of stuff happens. But it is what it is. I love just the fact, and it's the same thing happening now because if you're not extreme enough, if you're not liberal enough, they primary you. And that's what's happening here. And, you know, Brandon Mayor Farquaad, you know, who's even more balding now than he was when he was mayor. He's got, you know, he's shorter and has less hair. He's all bent out of shape because he's, you know,
he's being picked on.
He's being picked on. Poor Brandon. I feel sorry for him. Maybe I'll send him a cry towel. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. We're going to tell you about a Texas State Board of Education. See, it's not just, by the way, you think it's Kansas or California? No, folks, it happens even in Texas. The Texas State Board of Education proposing changes mandating school curriculum that would remove lessons about, get this, the American Revolution. They want to take it out of curriculum? Yeah. Apparently the founding fathers aren't woke enough for Texas. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to us on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be off. We're taking the July 4th holiday weekend off, so we'll run you a best of show next Sunday. We'll work on some of that content for you. So take a next Sunday off, and we'll be back the following week. So here's one for you. Ironically, this is just in time for America's 250. You know, we hear these stories all the time about radicals and, you know, the certain states taking over education. You wouldn't think this would happen in Texas.
Not Texas.
But, yep, sure enough, the Texas State Board of Education is proposing changes to mandated school curriculum that would remove certain lessons about the American Revolution and marginalize our founding fathers. Just in time for the 250th. So apparently three Republicans joined Democrats to remove portions of the American Revolution from mandatory history lessons. They specifically objected to the stories of Valley Forge and the battles of Lexington and Bunker Hill. Apparently they wanted to provide lessons on modern day America. Now, why modern day America should be part of the American Revolution, I don't know. They wanted to focus more on Oprah Winfrey instead of George Washington. Again, don't ask me why. Apparently, this is coming from a Julie Pickren, who is a member of the State Board of Education. She was on a recent national radio show, talked about the definition of the American flag. They want to change it because it is a symbol of that it cannot be referred to as a symbol of independence, because according to one board member, that it is not all people were free when America was established. So therefore, it cannot be referred to as a symbol of independence. Yeah.
I do recall from my time in school, Bunker Hill, Lexington, those were two huge battles. In Valley Forge as well, were all huge battles in the battle for independence from Great Britain.
Yep.
I would love to hear the justification. I think it would make my head explode if I tried to hear or listen to their justification as to why we want to minimalize these. That just does not make any sense to me.
Because apparently it's not neutral enough. Three Republicans joined Democrats to push through another of some of these changes recommended by the Council on American Islamic Relations. In addition,
oh my gosh, ding 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 ding, the bells and whistles are going off right there.
There was apparently a group of Protestant pastors who fought for the American Revolution, and they were known as the Black Robed Regiment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Council on American Islamic Relations finds that offensive, because they're the ones who force women to wear hijabs, mm-hmm, or habibs, or whatever they call them. Well, of course, that's offensive to them because they're too busy forcing women to wear them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we make women wear them, so you can't reference pastors who fought for the American Revolution 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we force women to wear it today. But that's not wrong. What's wrong is these guys who wore them 250 years ago. That's offensive. Us making women do it today, that's not offensive. I'm not making this stuff up.
I know. And this is the only thing that I can figure is that this is coming out of Austin, Texas, which is the capital.
Yes, it is coming out of Austin, Texas.
Austin is a hotbed for...
Yes.
It is an island of liberalism.
Yes, it's crazy.
Amongst a very...
This is a modern day left, folks. Yeah. Oprah Winfrey instead of George Washington.
You get one, and you get...
Wait, yeah. I don't know. At any rate, there you go. It's not only California.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well.
Moving on.
Moving on. I'm curious to see how that battle. Finishes up there.
Yeah, so. Crazy stuff.
Hey, circling back to the program that we had.
The Lieutenant Governor's Forum.
Forum.
It was a great event. Huge crowd.
Kind of a recap on that from you.
I thought we had a great crowd. We had probably, we didn't do a head count, but I'll bet it was at least 75 people there.
Good.
I think everyone was pleased. We had, considering you're talking about a, you know, Saturday in July, in June, late June, early July, where the Wichita Open was going on. We finally had some nice weather, breaking the rain. And yet we still had a really good crowd. And it wasn't governor candidates. It was lieutenant governor candidates. And I think we chose a format that was really good for folks to get to know. That we didn't do the 2 minutes, one, you know, where everybody gets a 30-second response. Right. And it's sound bites. This was conversations with people that arguably, you know, you never had. Most people didn't know a lot of these candidates. And so it's a really chance to get to know them. And one of the things that I pointed out to the audience was, if you think about it, two of the last four governors in Kansas resigned office.
Yes.
Elevating their lieutenant governors to be governor.
Yes, that was a great point.
And, you know, I mean, Jeff Collier became governor because Sam Brownback resigned. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Sebelius resigned and Parkinson became governor. So it's not likely to happen, but
that possibility.
That's right. If Philip Sarnicky wins, Joy Akins is going to be the next governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who's running with Cindy Holscher. Oh, Casey O'Hobson. If Cindy Holscher wins, heaven forbid. And I like Casey O'Hobson. He'll be the next governor. And, you know, I like him as a person. I'd never vote for him, but he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. If Ty Masterson wins, then Jeff Klimp will be the next governor. So, you know, if Scott Schwab wins, then Ken Rogers will be the next governor. So it was good that people had a chance to meet Ken Rogers and have a chance to hear from him personally. And, you know, Ken turned out, he's a great guy, nice guy, great conversation. And, you know, so I think it was beneficial for these folks to have a chance, one-on-one conversations, and hear what their visions of the office are and how they would view it and what they would do with it. And so I think, you know, Michelle Dombrowski, mm-hmm. I think it was a good opportunity to hear from these folks. And I'd never really met Michelle. I think I'd only met Jeff Klimp, who's running with Ty Masterson, once. I had no idea that Jeff Klimp had such a business background. I only knew him because he'd been in the Senate for 2 years. He has an incredible business background, very successful businessman, arguably as successful a businessman as Philip Sarnicky is.
Yes.
He could run for the governor himself. He's probably as wealthy as Phil. I mean, he's got thousands of employees. He's a very successful businessman. And I had no idea he was that successful as a businessman. And it was great to learn that and hear about his business experience and what that brings. Ken Rogers was, you know, Joy Akins. She did a great job talking about her business background.
Found them all to be very well spoken
and
very knowledgeable. So, yeah, it was a good evening.
If folks want to hear that, it is up on, it's up now on the KNSS website. We will post it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So you can visit it there. And of course, I'm sure we'll have some highlights tomorrow on Woodward and Witt. So make sure you tune in. And don't forget, next week we'll be off next Sunday, but I will be back the following week. In the meantime, have a great week and enjoy your 4th of July holiday weekend. Carry on.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.